Kyoto on Sunday. Check our website, democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Produced by Mike Berger, Nate Felsar, May Tony Marine Shakes, Dean Martinez, Dina Gezder. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Maté. Thanks so much for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, January 12th. The Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport welcomes Joe Pantaleo, 1 p.m. On your billboard for Monday, January 13th, Brain Cloud will be at Barb's of Brooklyn at 7. Johnny Gallagher will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, 9:30. On your billboard for Tuesday, January 14th, Danny Keene will be at the Sugar Bar, Manhattan, at 8. Chicago, Rare Performances with host Bill Shelley. This is a Film at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village, 7:30. Looking ahead to Wednesday, January 15th, James Maddock will be at the Cutting Room, Manhattan, at 7.
If you hear some musician on WUSB, you'll hear where they're playing locally on Concert Billboard. Arenas, bars, coffee houses, or outdoor festivals. They're all here at WUSB.FM and 90.1 FM, WUSB, Stony Brook, New York.
It's another Tuesday evening, 6:01 p.m. WUSB Stony Brook time once again for Off the Wall. Thank you. And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. This warm Tuesday evening. Well, compared to last week anyway, yeah, it's winter, but it's not very winter. And what a contrast to where we were just 7 days ago. And of course, the studio is tropical conditions, but nothing we can do about that. So there's so many things to talk about tonight. I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start, because where I start will sort of dictate the flavor, you know. If I start with something serious, then we have a serious tone throughout. If I start with something a little bit not serious, then we'll have kind of a comical tone. And I'm just not sure which way I want to go. Well, okay, let's start with something serious, because radio is no laughing matter. And we've probably all heard about this, but the Weather Channel is being dropped by DirecTV. Yeah, that's serious. That is about as serious as you can get. And this dispute apparently has been in the works for a while. The fees that Weather Channel was charging DirecTV apparently were too much. But what they have said is that there's a growing reliance on other digital services, and therefore the very need for the Weather Channel has been reduced. According to the chief content officer, what's a content officer? They monitor all the content of channels that they don't control? Okay, chief content officer, that means there's more than one. Okay, Chief Content Officer of DirecTV says, people are increasingly getting their weather info on demand on their devices, whether it's weather.com or apps. Well, I guess, you know, Chief Content Officer, you're probably right about that. I can't remember the last time I turned on the weather. I don't even know what channel the Weather Channel is on my various systems. I don't know why you would turn on a channel, a national channel, to find out about the weather in your area, when there are so many other ways of doing that, even on a TV, and certainly off a TV, there are many ways of doing that. I was talking about the weather just now, and it had nothing to do with the Weather Channel. And when the Weather Channel did exist just for that purpose, it wasn't that interesting. Not to me, anyway. I mean, I love weather. I love different kinds of weather. But seeing numbers on a screen and hearing forecasts repeated over and over again, that just doesn't do it for me. Now, according to a financial software technician in Austin, Texas, who was contacted at random, my Weather Channel watching is now zero. I use the web and mostly mobile apps now for my weather needs. Which, and by the way, includes the Weather Channel's mobile app. So it's not like they're getting totally ripped off here. But the Weather Channel's average daily audience has fallen 19% to 214,000 people since 2011. I can't believe 214,000 people are watching the Weather Channel. Of course, I can't believe people watch the garbage that's on TV anyway. And you know, Chief Content Officer, where are you there with all the garbage that is programmed on non-weather channels? I'm talking about infomercials and reality shows and just things that talk down to us so much and turn people into blithering idiots, because that's how the world is portrayed to them. People will reflect what they are exposed to all the time. And yeah, they can turn it off, they can go elsewhere. But it's hard when there's so much peer pressure, when everyone's doing the same thing. We see that in so many ways. But DirecTV went on to criticize Weather Channel, what it has become. And this is something that I have to kind of agree about. because I've seen this on so many other places, so many other channels and networks. And that's that they move away from that which they said they were going to be doing in the first place. And I'm referring to the fact that 40% of the Weather Channel's content is now reality programming. Shows like Highway Through Hell. I don't know what that's about. And you see that everywhere. You see that as a science fiction channel. So, what's it called this week? They don't call it sci-fi anymore because it really isn't sci-fi, but they have reality shows. It's fiction, science fiction, half your name. And they choose to do reality programs. Bravo. My God, used to be an arts and culture channel. Arts and entertainment used to be an arts and cultural channel. It just seems like even BBC America has been dumbed down, where it's almost indistinguishable from any of those other mind-numbing networks that get thrown at you all the time. It's just so strange to see this melting pot of broadcasting where everyone just tries to cater to the same audience. It's just, it's sad. So, you know, if there was a Weather Channel on DirecTV, I think the one that would stand the most chance, even with a small audience, would be the one that just gave the weather information. Stuck to that. Not try to expand it to things that are probably all over the place on other channels anyway. But all that said and done, DirecTV, it's not really their job, chief content officer or not, to tell them what they have to have on their channel. But, of course, if they're charging a lot of money, then they can say, we're not going to pay that. That is a pretty serious news story right there. Another serious news story. I just got a briefing before the show, so this is fresh in my mind. But apparently, there is a raid, a search, what do you want to call it? A felony search warrant at Justin Bieber's home in Los Angeles. Yeah, an egg-throwing probe. They are... What, are they searching for eggs inside his house? This morning, sheriff's deputies arrived with a warrant to search his home. I guess they're looking... Oh, okay, here's what they're doing. They're looking for his security camera footage. This is the problem with having security cameras. The cops come and want to see your footage. And they think that his security camera footage will show what happened Thursday night when eggs were thrown at a neighbor's home. Is this really something that the cops need to be this involved in? Is this really something that needs to be international news? Is this really something I should be wasting my time with here? Well, judging from the amount of coverage this is getting, yeah, it looks like it has to be. Anyway, yeah, Bieber was at home. Remember the first time we ever talked about Justin Bieber when he somehow started a near riot here on Long Island, and no one had ever heard of him. Well, obviously the people who were rioting had heard of him before, but he was kind of new to us. And wow, train just keeps on going. Anyway, he was cooperative with the dozen deputies. They sent a dozen deputies to his home to look at video footage. He has not answered any questions about the alleged vandalism. And, you know, they just keep talking about the bad year that Justin Bieber has had with everything from the Anne Frank house to passing out to urinating in an inappropriate place to saying something bad about, what, Clinton or something like that. It's like every single movement is under scrutiny. And that's unhealthy whether you're doing something positive or something negative. You know, the fan base is insane. And the people who are the opposite of the fan base are also insane. And I don't see how anybody can survive in a situation like that. That's why so many celebrities go completely wacko and crazy and get strung out on drugs or don't make it into their 30s. So it's a sickness. The sickness is in society. And I don't know what the answer is, except to stop paying attention and start doing something else. Get a little variety in your life. All right. What else? Oh, okay. More sickness in society. Well, of course, you probably have heard about the latest in our Second Amendment zealot contingent. Where should we start? Well, yesterday, tomorrow. No, we don't have tomorrow yet, but I'm sure there will be something tomorrow. Yesterday, we had the case of this 71-year-old ex-cop in a theater who killed a guy for texting. Well, okay, it's a little bit more involved than that. Okay, this guy, Curtis Reeves, he's a retired police captain who allegedly shot and killed a man who threw popcorn at him at a showing of Lone Survivor in where else, Florida, after the 43-year-old man in front of him was texting his 3-year-old daughter as the previews were playing. There was just so much wrong in that sentence. So much. Where do I begin? Oh, my God. Well, first of all, Lone Survivor is that. But, okay, well, taste or taste, you know. Not much you can do about that. But, okay, yeah. People who text in theaters, it's annoying. People who text to 3-year-olds, I don't even understand that. That's weird. A 3-year-old has a phone? Yeah, I'll just assume that the story is just not being reported 100% accurately. He was probably texting to somebody who was in charge of the kid or whatever. But still, in the theater, it's not... talking on a phone is horrible. But texting is bad, too, because, well, it lights up and sometimes it beeps and it just annoys people around you. People don't know how to behave in theaters anymore. I notice that every time. Either folks who don't know how to whisper and think that they're in their living room and they can just simply comment on everything that's happening, or making all kinds of inappropriate noises. I don't know. I could go on for a long time about this. But it's all trumped by some lunatic who takes matters into his own hands and feels that he has the right to kill somebody because he doesn't like what they're doing. I mean, yeah, the guy was a cop, and he did have that right for a while, as cops do. But this is insane. Now, at least he actually was charged. He was charged with second-degree murder. And it doesn't look like he's going to get far if he tries that whole stand your ground law. You know, throwing popcorn at somebody. You'd have to be pretty strung out to think that that's a threat on your life. But they say that he may be able to legally claim he was justified in the shooting because he's 71 years old and he's trained as a police officer. Elderly people are a bit more vulnerable than regular adults. So what may give a younger person a black eye could mean a cracked skull for a septuagenarian. And that's certainly a factor that can be figured in. That's according to a former Florida prosecutor. It's also important to remember that probable cause to arrest is not a very high standard. It's just right above suspicion. And the fact that the judge endorsed the officer's probable cause to arrest and then denied a bond is pretty well standard. Reeves told the cops that he was in fear of being attacked. Now, it's legal in Florida to have a concealed gun in a movie theater. And this is what happens when you make things like that legal. And I'm waiting for the debates to start, for the idiots on the comment boards, not that I'm going to read them, to say, you know, if more people had guns in that theater, that wouldn't have happened. Yeah, you would have had bullets flying in all directions. You know, it doesn't take very long for somebody to shoot somebody. You have to be Superman to prevent that. Bullets travel very fast, and people pull out guns and fire them almost immediately. Only on TV do they wave them around in the air for 25 minutes while others try to convince them not to do that. So no matter how many people are armed, you're not going to stop the one person who does something bad. Ever. Unless you can stop time. And that's the argument that is used so frequently, that, you know, I have to have my weapons because the bad guys are always going to have their weapons. You know what? The bad guys are always going to have their weapons. That is probably true. But what isn't true is that you can stop them with yours. Because, again, the element of surprise, that is what most people use when they do something like this. You don't see it coming. And there's precious little you can do. So all that happens when we encourage this kind of thing is that more people have accidents, fly off the deep end, and that's probably the reason why most of these things happen. People snap. Everybody snaps at some point. There was a case just a couple of days ago. There are cases every couple of days, but this one, I'm not sure you heard about, where somebody did something to anger a motorist in Pennsylvania, and this guy chased this driver for something like 15 miles. He was calling 911. He was saying, "I'm afraid for my life." And the guy caught up to him and shot him and killed him. And I don't think they ever caught the guy. Probably somebody normal driving out there had his buttons pushed for some reason and snapped and just went after this guy. You see it happen all the time. You see road rage. You see people act like idiots for the most ridiculous reasons. Oh, you got in front of me. You didn't signal, or you did signal. Sometimes people are upset by that. It's amazing how easily you can get somebody to turn into a screaming maniac. I'm pretty good at this. But then you inject this weapon into it, and all of a sudden, they have the power of life and death, and more often than you would think, they will make the wrong choice. It becomes the most important thing in the world to them that this person insulted them by passing them on a road or beeping at them. Yeah, you know, you try that these days. You can't beep at anybody anymore. Even if they're doing something wrong, they get very angry. Just like a cautionary beep. Hey, I'm here. You know, we were taught that in driver's ed, that make sure you make eye contact with somebody who might pull out in front of you, a little tap on the horn. Well, now a little tap on the horn will get you chased through three counties. And God forbid the guy is packing. So this whole thing about an armed society being a polite society is utter nonsense. An armed society is a scared society because you never know who you're going to piss off and what they're going to do. And yeah, the bad guys will still have their guns, regardless. Point is, these are not the bad guys. These are the law-abiding citizens. I'll bet that ex-cop in the theater yesterday, if we went back in time last week and said, you know what, this guy should not have a gun, how many people do you think would say, yeah, you're right, you know, he could snap at any moment? I mean, he could see it happening, right? He's 71, he's an ex-cop. No, you can't see these things coming. You can't see it happen. That's why this talk of, well, if only all the people with mental illness could be prevented from having guns, all the problems would be solved. Yeah, good luck with that, because if you label anybody as somebody who shouldn't have a gun, those very same people are going to stand up and say, how dare you? How dare you deny Mr. Manson the right to have a Glock or whatever he wants? You know, he's only been out on probation for a day. He fears for his safety. And it's his right. It's madness. And it's a solution that will never happen, because you'll never be able to simply label people and predict what it is they're going to do. There's a kid today, just today. I heard this coming in. I really hate this. I hate hearing these stories. 12-year-old used a shotgun to shoot two kids in Roswell, New Mexico at school. 12 years old. I mean, at 12 years old, I didn't even know how to operate a boomerang. Not a boomerang. I can't even say it right. A slingshot. You know? I would be inept at that, but kids, they know how to shoot shotguns, how to aim at somebody, and it doesn't matter to them. They can do this. Because something happened. Who knows what it was? Something happened to anger them, to make them feel that this was something that needed to be settled in this way. And when you have access to deadly weapons, you will use deadly weapons. This has been proven throughout our history on this planet. It's always going to be the case. So let's not be surprised. When you see so many of these things happening, it's because there are so many of these weapons easily available. And because we're a violent society. That's something that really needs to be addressed as well. But we're not going to get far if it's this easy. So yeah, this Florida case, that's going to be interesting to see. Florida yet again in the focal point here. And of course, you also had, I mentioned how cops have this this right to take life whenever they want. They do. They get away with it almost all the time. This story here, a jury acquitted two former Fullerton, California police officers who were on trial in the beating death of Kelly Thomas, a mentally ill and homeless man. And that verdict was read in a Santa Ana courtroom yesterday afternoon. Eight women, four men began deliberating the case on Thursday. The victim's father said this is carte blanche to police officers to do whatever they want. The beating of Thomas in a transit parking lot was recorded by security cameras on the night of July 5th, 2011. And the surveillance camera footage shows Thomas being beaten, clubbed, and stunned with a taser by police. And that video sparked a nationwide outcry. Former officer Manuel Ramos was charged with second-degree murder, involuntary manslaughter. A second Fullerton officer, Jay Cicinelli, was charged with involuntary manslaughter and excessive use of force. Both were found not guilty on all counts. So, it's incredible. You might actually see something on video. You might be outraged by it, but when it comes down to it in the end, when people forget about it, when time passes, certain people have a lot more say than others. That's a very sad thing. So, yeah, that's... I guess we got off on a lighter note, didn't we? That's the way things stand today. Oh, Ariel Sharon. Yeah, he finally died. Wow. 8 years in a coma. We talked about this, I think, a few months ago when there was a possibility that people thought he might be able to understand what was going on around him. Someone said the name of his hometown and something changed. And I was wondering, you know, what was that? What could that possibly be like? To be in that kind of a prison for 8 years and not be able to communicate, but be aware. And that sort of thing just is pretty astounding. But yeah, he, 8 years after having a stroke, he finally succumbed. And it's kind of strange because it's like he died twice, you know? He kind of fell off the scene and was replaced and forgotten. And then we hear about this and it all gets brought up all over again. And of course, the reaction to what Ariel Sharon was all about is, it's pretty pretty intense in some parts of the world, as it, well it should be. This was not a nice guy. I don't care what anybody says. This was a guy that embraced war, started wars. You know, his visit to the Temple Mount, that kind of started the Intifada that continues pretty much in various ways. You know, going someplace where you know that your presence is going to spark outrage and conflict, and a lot of people are going to die as a result, but you do it anyway. You know, you don't use diplomacy. You just use bullheadedness. And of course, we look back into the 80s when the refugee camps were raided by Christian militia at Ariel Sharon's permission, with his permission, and they engaged in a massacre that horrified the world. Ariel Sharon was found responsible by his own government for this. But in Israel, for some reason, those kinds of things are put aside, and he was elected prime minister after that. I joked once. I remember joking with somebody that, yeah, Prime Minister Sharon, you know, because it was the most unlikely person that you could imagine being prime minister because of his record. And yet that's exactly what happened only a couple of years later. So to say he was a great person, well, you know, it's all in the interpretation of what you believe is important. But if peace and diplomacy were important, he was definitely not one of the heavy hitters there. And I have to say, as far as his hawkishness, he has not really accomplished anything because the wars continue. And they don't solve anything. So it's not surprising. It's not surprising to see people celebrating, although I really think, you know, celebrating someone's death is just, it never does it for me. You know, people were doing that when Saddam Hussein was killed, people were celebrating then. And we see that all the time with enemies. It's definitely something that doesn't really accomplish anything, and it's negative. What is the point of celebrating when somebody is no longer on the... I guess, you know, if you really think they're an enemy. But I just can't get behind that. I mean, I have this problem with even killing insects. I've talked about this. In fact, I've had this issue over the past couple of weeks with flies in the kitchen. Yeah. I don't know where they come from. And there aren't very many of them. Maybe two at a time. Sometimes three. And it's not like they're attracted to anything that's left out because nothing's left out. They might be what's known as cluster flies. And they supposedly seek shelter in the winter and just kind of hang out in the house. But I had to identify them. And in order to identify them, I had to trap them. And I was able to finally to grab one, not with my hands, but in a cup and put it inside a Tupperware container and then take pictures of it and put it on the internet and figure out what kind of fly it was. And turned out it's actually probably a fruit fly, even though there's no fruit out. There's a fruit fly. Maybe they thought there was fruit that was on the way or something. But I had this fly inside this Tupperware container for 2 days, and I started to feel bad that there's a fly in there that's trapped and that I'm killing this fly. It's a fly, for God's sake, and I'm feeling guilty about that. So this is why it's hard for me to feel that anyone's demise is something to celebrate. It was really sad, too, because I saw other flies on top of the Tupperware container. It was like they were looking in. They knew this friend of theirs was in there and couldn't get out. But I couldn't just, what was I going to do? Let the fly go? Nah, I'm not going to do that. You got to draw the line somewhere. And Now I'm able to identify and take action, and I have this this little trap now. I don't use insecticide because it's not effective and it's bad for you, and there are other ways of dealing with the situation. If you simply cover a container with plastic wrap, poke a couple of holes in it, and put something inside, like an old apple or something, the flies will go through the little hole that you poked into there, and they won't be able to get out. For some reason, they don't know how to get back out, which is an Achilles heel, pretty much. And so that's what I have right now, is this weird-looking fly trap. It's a challenge. But it's better than spreading poison. Yeah, flies. Okay, how did I get there? Because, yeah, Ariel Sharon died after being in a coma for so long. You know, whether it's Osama bin Laden or Saddam Hussein or even people in this country that we detest, we're still all human beings, and it just feels wrong. It feels wrong to celebrate. But again, you have to look at the legacy here. It's also wrong, it's very wrong, to elevate and to say this was a great person, because this was not a great person. It's somebody who made things a lot worse. All right, shall we take phone calls? Getting kind of heavy here. Well, I think it's because it's 95 degrees in here, too, that I'm feeling a little bit like I'm being tortured. So maybe we could take some phone calls if I can get this delay machine working properly. 631-632-6901. That is our telephone number. And, of course, your calls are always welcome.
Woo! 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 Hey, this is Dr. Demento. You never know what the you're going to hear next on WUSB, and that's the way I like it.
And that was fun, wasn't it? 631-632-6901. 20 minutes to 7 o'clock. This is Off the Wall. Coming to you from a tropical hell here. It's Stony Brook, where it's just not as cold as it should be outside and a lot warmer than it ever should be inside. As we wait for phone calls to come in. But what else can we talk? Okay, you know what? Cannabis Bowl? Yeah. It's come a little closer to reality. What is Cannabis Bowl, you might want to know. Okay, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Kyle and I actually were brainstorming. And came up with the name Cannabis Bowl if Denver and Seattle meet in the Super Bowl on February 2nd. Because why? Colorado and Washington are the two states that have legalized marijuana. And somehow they are the two states that have produced the two football teams with the best record in the NFL this year. And I maintain there's some kind of a connection. So that's why, if they do meet, and they just have to win next week. Each one has to win their games next week for them to meet in the Super Bowl. And if they do that, I maintain it should be called the Cannabis Bowl. I am trying. I am really trying to turn this into a trending topic on Twitter, and I'm having no success whatsoever. I don't know what you have to do. I mean, you look at Twitter now, everything is Justin Bieber related and words I don't even understand. Random letters, it seems, sometimes. So I'm asking, I'm appealing to the entire internet, to everybody out there. Please make Cannabis Bowl into a trending topic. I don't know what I'll get out of it, but I should get something, right? It was my idea. And, you know, what I see occasionally, I see people saying, hey, you know what? If Denver and Seattle meet, they should call that the Cannabis Bowl. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you moron. I did that 2 weeks ago. I shouldn't call them morons. I was in the same position. But the point is, that was my idea. A little recognition. You know, how do you trademark a trending topic? Good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, howdy, how you guys doing today?
Oh, we're doing okay, you know, it's a little warm in here, and I'm a little cranky, but other than that, I'm doing all right. How are you?
Sorry, picking up my headset. There we go. Pretty good, yeah.
Okay.
It's been a while since I called in, Brian, from the land of Macedon.
The land of what?
Oh, Macedon. Called in during one of the donation shows. I noticed that this is the 6901, the typical donate line during that.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Sure. Well, what's on your mind?
Oh, I just wanted to call that. I was catching up the other day, caught the New Year's show. It was a good time. I also wanted to give a shout-out to JJ for the friggin' cassette collection archives. That's absolutely awesome.
Well, cool. It's good to know.
And then random babbling going through the list here.
Any reaction to anything that has been talked about tonight?
Yes, looking through here.
He keeps notes. This is great. That's more than I do.
Yeah, it seems like, especially with the police forces we have here in the United States and their carte blanche to murder people,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of entertaining that our news doesn't really give any coverage to that. But as far as the global spectrum goes, it seems like all the other nations are readily aware of that being an issue.
Yes.
Because it's been so prevalent for so long. And the people of those nations, particularly Mexico most recently, are actually ratifying against that madness.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, everybody here is just watching their pseudo television, enjoying all their...
It's interesting you mentioned Mexico. I saw a video today of people going and arresting cops. It's true. These guys took the law into their own hands, and they accused the cops of working with the drug dealers. And you see cops being led away in handcuffs.
Right.
So it's a strange world out there, but these things do happen.
Yeah, I don't mean to bring up the taboo topic on that contingency, but the whole gun rights and armament of United States citizens. At the same time, I do think that that's a little better of a defensive mechanism for rational folks, you know, not to put people in groups or anything, because I think that just when you ask for trouble, when you try to ostracize people and judge them based on conditions and yada yada.
Right.
But I do think that at least the gun registration is beneficial for the benefit of letting totalitarian forces, if you will, know who does have a gun in case they were just trying to come to their home.
Uh-huh.
Good reason.
Yeah, but you know, if a totalitarian government is out there, coming to your home to get your guns is really probably very low on their priority list, because there are so many other things that they're going to be doing as far as mass surveillance, curtailing your freedom of speech and assembly rights. You know, the gun you have in your home is probably going to be used to kill somebody else. It's not going to affect the government one bit. That's how I see it.
Oh, I agree with that. I look at it more of like when they're putting together their docs on your, if you will.
Uh-huh.
That's just one bullet point and, oh, hey, maybe we shouldn't just try to step into this person's home and cause some drama type ridiculous scenario, because on top of their other conditions or beliefs that we believe are not in our interest or profit margins, that's just an extra scenario and your benefit saying that you kind of identify that you have the right to defend yourself in that scenario. I mean, granted, if somebody's going to come guns akimbo, especially from the military complex, you're not going to realistically stand a chance.
Right. And I don't think the government really backs down like that. If they say, oh, this guy has a gun, well, we shouldn't bother him. I just don't think that's not how they think.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And yeah, that's probably more just of a self-reassurance.
Yeah, it's just we live in a kind of a sick society where violence is the norm, and where people have such easy access to weapons that they can simply, you know, make a big mistake and have the ability to make it a huge mistake, you know. And these things take a second; they take a moment. When your temper cracks or you just lose rationality for a moment, guaranteed, if you have a gun within arm's length, something really bad is going to happen, as opposed to maybe smacking the wall or something with your fist, which probably isn't good either, but...
Yeah, that's true. Fight or flight kind of defeats your ability to rationalize. But at the same time, if you didn't have a gun,
mm-hmm.
A few other nations, I think Australia is one of them, when they banned all the weapons, they pretty much switched back to the old method of stabbing people and that type of thing.
Yeah, but crime has gone way down over there. Yeah, you're always going to be able to stab people, that's for sure. But it's not like people suddenly discovered stabbing because the guns were gone. The same people were stabbing, all right? I think that level remained the same. But their gun deaths have gone way, way down. And that's Australia is actually a model, because guns were a big part of their society, and bang, no pun intended, suddenly they weren't after a particularly bad massacre. And it's a lesson I really wish we would learn, because, you know, Australia has not changed who they are. They have not changed their values. They've just changed that. And I think it's high time we change the importance of that in our minds, because there are so many more important things to be focusing on than our supposed right to carry whatever we want to carry. It's bad for us. It's bad for the people around us. It's unhealthy. And this case in Florida is a perfect example. You know, you have this guy, probably well-respected in his community, until he snapped, until something happened where he thought he was being disrespected or whatever. 71 years old, former police captain, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you are, what you are. Everybody can snap. And this is a perfect example of how that happens.
That's true. You got the Michael Douglas falling down effect there.
Yeah. Okay. That's. I would expect him to snap a lot sooner, but sure. Anything else on your mind?
Just going through the list.
How big is this list?
I tried to make a list, so it's somewhat presented, but nothing else really jumping out.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and please spread the word and all that.
Right on, a pleasure. Hopefully better.
All right, let's take another phone call. And good evening, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, where are you calling from?
I'm in Rocky Point, beautiful downtown, Rocky Point.
Rocky Point, 11787?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Oh, you don't know, I think that's Smithtown. All right, never mind, but it's something like that.
Oh, okay. Hey, earlier you were talking about the, well, just now you were talking about the guy who, the two cops that, were beating up on some person or whatever. I didn't catch the whole thing.
Well, they killed a guy. Yeah, they killed a guy. They did it on video, and they were arrested for it and found not guilty on all charges.
Okay. I didn't hear anything about this, sadly. What was the situation? Was it a Rodney King situation? Did he do something? Did the guy who passed away, did the deceased do something first or what? I didn't catch it all.
He was a homeless guy. All I see here is that one of the cops was threatening the quote-unquote uncooperative homeless man. Basically, he was shaking his fist in the homeless guy's face, and you know, it seems to me this guy was not armed. As far as I know, he was not armed at all. He was beaten, clubbed, and stunned with a taser by police. You know, it's just. How do you justify something like that?
I guess you can. I'll just carry, like I said, when I get back to my house, I'll plug in or tune into the internet and find out what's going on. But sadly, I didn't hear anything about this, and I guess you can't justify this. I don't care what the situation was.
Well, what's really frustrating to me is that in this story that I'm reading, the video sparked a nationwide outcry, you know, and the verdict really hasn't. You know, it's been in the news, sure, but it hasn't sparked the same kind of outcry that the initial video did. We kind of forget about these things over time, and they happen, and we sort of shrug our shoulders and say, well, you know, that's just another example. It's kind of like what I'm doing here right now.
Right. Well, I remember, a couple of weeks ago, that guy from that duck hunting TV show said what he said about gays or whatever heck it was.
Yeah, you know, I heard peripherally what that was all about. What was it? Another reality show, right?
Silly reality show, but people say, oh, it's so wholesome, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, what I don't understand is why was he asked for his opinion on gay marriage in the first place? What do you expect somebody like that to say? You know, while I decry what he said, I wonder what was the point of asking him in the first place?
That's a really good question. That I can't answer. But I do know that out of all the things, you know, when Paula Deen got in her situation, she lost a lot of her sponsors and blah, blah, blah. The Duck people lost a lot of their sponsors. And then A&E, you know, they were going to pull their show. But this is the first time, this is the first time that the public outrage actually forced a network to backpedal and to back him up and keep him on.
Well,
I think there was a bunch of different channels that were ready to pick up the show if A&E dropped it, which I don't really call A&E arts and entertainment anymore. It used to be.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's incredible.
It's all reality rubbish.
Yeah. In fact, I even remember when it was two different channels. It was an Arch channel, and I think it was CBS cable or something. I don't know. There were so many different arts networks. They had opera, for God's sake. They had all kinds of cultural type things, and they merged those two, and they became Arts and Entertainment. It was still kind of, highbrow, and then A&E, and it just kept getting lower and lower. But in response to that, yeah, you know what? In a way, I would support the guy remaining on the air because I don't like people taken off the air because what they say is objectionable. That can be used against you as well as for your position. And again, you know, why is what he says even relevant? You know, he's got his beliefs. I happen to think they're dead wrong, but it's got nothing to do with the show he's doing.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true,
know.
I assume
it does.
It had something to do with their sponsors and things like that. Like, what was the other day? I was watching one of my favorite channels, IFC, Independent Film Channel.
Yeah, that used to be a good channel, too. Now they have commercials and they have a bug.
Commercials, and I forget what film that was actually on. It was something had nothing to do with indie.
No, they don't show independent film anymore. I mentioned BBC America before. They don't even show British shows anymore. I don't understand the point of calling it BBC America. They show Star Trek, The Next Generation, for God's sake. That was not a British production. Yeah, Picard has a British accent. Is that really all they need?
Well, see, that's just it. I wish I could remember what TV show was on IFC, but it was something really silly. I'm like, wait a minute, you can catch this on Spike TV or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm down to the point now of DVDs and stuff. There's nothing. Well, there's also what, Channel 13 and Channel 21, I think.
Well, yeah, except they are constantly begging for money and showing the equivalent of commercials now. Yeah, DVDs, Blu-rays, that's pretty much what I'm surviving on because, you know, you get, and even that can be a pain sometimes when they stick advertisements you can't, not advertisements, but promotions and warnings and things like that. Why do they put warnings on the things that you buy when the people that they're warning are pirating the content and erasing the warnings? So they don't see it, but the people who buy the material do see it. That really annoys me.
Tell you what, I wish there was a way I could buy DVDs with warning, without warning. That would be great.
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Hey, listen, we're out of time. Thanks for your call.
All righty then.
All right, stay dry out there.
I'll do that. You too. Bye.
All right. I didn't mention that. It's raining. Yeah, it's wet, it's warm, and it's winter. Hey, Finn, are you out there? Are you out in the hallway? If you are, come in here because I want to ask you something. I have another idea. This is even better than Cannabis Bowl. Okay, good. I'm glad you're here.
Wow, it's hot in here.
Isn't it hot in here? And it's not just because of what I'm saying. I don't know what this university is doing. They're trying to smoke us out or something. Is that microphone working? Just pull it up to your head there.
Check, check.
Yeah, there it is. All right. So the Cannabis Bowl thing, I don't know if that's going to happen. I hope it does. It's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
It should be a trending topic. Come on, how many times is this going to happen at this particular moment in history? For God's sake, I don't know how to make something a trending topic, but right now I've said it the most on Twitter. I just hope it catches on. We only have a couple of weeks for that to
I'm going to tweet it too.
Will you tweet it, please?
I will do that right now.
Because being a Twitter trending topic is very important to me. I was trying to think of a word with a T. But here's something even better. Do you know what happens? And this is something I thought about once, forgot about, until I was trying to trap the fly in my kitchen. And I looked at the calendar and I realized, hey, I've got this cool calendar that I bought. It's an astronomy calendar. And it had information about celestial bodies, like when they're visible, when they're not visible, and things like that. And I found this information that I've been trying to find out for quite a while, and here it is on the calendar now. Basically, the full moon happens at the same moment around the world at the same time once a month. The same exact moment. All right? It's not something that happens in New York, and then it happens in California or Paris or whatever. Whether you can see the full moon or not, it becomes full at that moment.
It's happening, yes.
And tonight at 11:52 p.m., the moon becomes full. Now, what we're doing now, I don't know why we're doing this. It just seems like a good idea. Is starting a whole movement because we have so little to do that we're going to start a whole new movement. It's a Twitter account called Lunar Freeze.
Lunar Freeze.
Lunar Freeze. And what that means is that you will, if you subscribe to that Twitter account, you will get a tweet at the moment the moon becomes full, whenever the moon becomes full. And what we encourage you to do is to stop whatever you're doing for 1 minute. Just stop for 1 minute and kind of contemplate, meditate, think, philosophize, whatever. unless you're doing something dangerous, like operating a forklift. Well, no, you could just stop the forklift, right? That's not particularly dangerous. If you're in the middle of landing a plane, maybe. So you have automatic pilot. I don't know. If it's really something you can't stop, all right, fine. But most people can probably stop whatever it is they're doing, right?
Sure, like, right.
If it happened for me right now, I'd stop talking.
In my case, I'll probably be sleeping.
Well, stop that.
I'll try to stop. I'll stop dreaming.
Well, you'll get a tweet. The tweet will say the moon is now full and stop for a minute. Stop whatever you're doing for a minute.
Stop sleeping and be very miserable.
No, but Finn, imagine this. Imagine if the entire world, because nothing else. We had Orthodox Christmas a week ago, right? That's very controversial because, you know, regular Christmas was before that, 2 weeks before that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people came and agree when Christmas is, whether or not to celebrate Christmas or whatever. But this is something that we have no control over. This is something celestial. It's out there. It's indisputable. And it happens at the same time around the world once a month. Why don't we take advantage of this and make it into a global celebration of some sort?
And I agree. And I am now following Lunar Freeze.
Are you following
right now?
See how easy that was?
I'm the fifth follower. So I urge all of you out there, because it's a very exciting feed.
I was the first follower.
I'm sure you were. I'm the fifth, which I am, by the way, my name is also the fifth.
There is no, I mean, people have a million followers now. There's no reason we can't get a billion followers to this.
Lunar Freeze.
It's the entire world. This isn't just Justin Bieber, okay? Justin Bieber pales in comparison to the moon, all right? Because, you know, he caters to a certain amount of people, a certain type of person, but this is everybody. Everybody everywhere sees the moon, right?
That's right.
There is no part of the world that does not see the moon, and this is something that happens, it's been happening for a long, long time. And now, finally, you can get notified when it becomes full. Just
I like
that.
It.
Isn't that cool? It's a good idea.
It is a good idea.
It's never going to catch on. It's going to have.
It's going to catch on.
10 followers next week, you know. Whereas, you know, some silly video will go viral and have a billion followers immediately and not contribute anything to this world.
Now I'm going to spread the word on Twitter myself, and I'll have my 900 or so followers.
900? That's not too shabby.
I'll tell you. Yeah, that's
pretty
right.
Good. Pretty
and,
good.
And my 900 or so followers will be latched onto Lunar Freeze, I'm quite sure. So Lunar Freeze on Twitter.
The reason it's Lunar Freeze, by the way, is because every other possible thing I thought of before that was taken by some idiot someplace who took a Twitter account years ago and never tweeted anything. You know?
So it's really got to do with the frozen moment of the...
Well, that's sort of, that's how it came about, and it's kind of cool. It's a cool name. It's the best-sounding one that I could think of. and also, it kind of it takes that whole smart mob mentality thing where, you know, all of a sudden you just stop in the middle of a Target or something,
mm-hmm.
or in the middle of a street or God knows what. Well, imagine the entire world stopping at the same time just for a moment. It doesn't hurt anybody.
To, if appropriate, look up at the sky, especially.
But in the middle of brain surgery, if you're the surgeon.
Take a second.
That could hurt somebody. All right, fine. But you know what? You probably shouldn't be getting Twitter alerts there anyway.
I'm sure some doctors probably are.
Probably are. Yeah, yeah.
Texting while operating.
So, I don't know. It's an experiment. Tonight's the first time, 11:52 p.m. My phone's going to go off at that moment.
My phone's volume will be way off, but I'll probably vaguely hear it vibrate.
Wouldn't that be cool? Once a month, you just... And it's going to be morning, afternoon, all different times, depending on what time of the year it is and depending what part of the world you're in.
I like it.
We link together in this one thing. You don't have to agree on anything else. You can totally disagree on everything. But for that one moment.
But you can't ignore that lunar moment.
Oh, wouldn't it be cool if in the middle of a football game, everybody just stopped for 1 minute? It doesn't kill anybody. 1 minute? What's that? How does that affect anyone?
I agree.
This is it, folks. This is my idea. This
and
is
in
my
football,
one good
in football
idea.
Especially, you know, there's so much stopping. It certainly wouldn't affect anything.
That's true, too. That is very true. Hey, I'm in your time.
That's all right.
I haven't even played my moon-related outro yet.
Play us some moon-related outro.
All right. Traveling Wheelbarrows. With a song called Blue Moon. Yeah. And Finn is up next. All kinds of inspirational.
Yeah, we're going to be talking to Doc Pomus, filmmaker Peter Miller, just in a few minutes.
Will you tell him about Lunar Freeze?
I will.
All right, thank you. Until next week, folks, good night. OTW at 2600.com. See you next time. We'll be right back.
come and gone, and none of them were blue. So many times the sun came up, but it came up with that view. Came up with that.